On the chilly night of January 8, 2002, the car park at the Orchard Towers complex in Singapore stood silent, save for the occasional hum of fluorescent lights. Muhammad Yaqub, the security guard on duty that night, found himself responding to a peculiar report concerning a silver Daewoo Chairman parked on the 7th floor. The car had remained parked in the same spot for the past 4 consecutive days, which had aroused suspicion among other tenants and staff. Muhammad's steps echoed eerily as he ascended to the 7th floor. And there she was, the silver Daewoo looming ominously in the dimly lit corner, casting long shadows that danced like specters in the pale light. As Muhammad approached cautiously, an unwelcoming stench wafted from the car, assaulting him with its putrid odor. But duty compelled him forward, albeit reluctantly. With trembling hands, he reached for his radio, summoning the police to investigate further. The police, driven by a sense of foreboding, forced open the car's doors. Inside, they made a ghastly discovery. 2 decomposing corpses lay within the confines of the vehicle. One of the corpses was nestled within a massive wicker basket. The lifeless form belonged to a 46-year-old Singaporean man named Khoo Nai Guan, his body twisted in a macabre tableau of death. In the boot of the car, wrapped in blankets and suffocated by plastic bags tightened with neckties, lay the second victim, a woman whose identity was revealed to be Lan Yaming, also known as Susie Lan. The police then meticulously combed through the interior of the Daewoo car, but aside from the 2 corpses and some bloodstains, no other evidence was found. Upon scrutinizing the car's registration details, they found that the vehicle was registered to a man named Michael McCrea. Once they delved deeper into the tangled web of relationships surrounding the deceased, a chilling truth emerged. Khoo Nai Guan, one of the victims, had served as Michael McCrea's personal chauffeur. Meanwhile, Susie Lan, the other unfortunate soul, had been romantically involved with Guan. Records later unveiled the depth of the bond between Michael and Guan. Michael had treated Guan as more than just an employee. He considered him a brother, displaying immense generosity by not only providing a monthly salary of $6,000, but also extended his support by offering to cover Guan's monthly maintenance fees, amounting to $1,600 after his divorce. Yet amidst these seemingly harmonious relations, a disturbing thought arose. Despite Michael's deep affection for Guan, suspicions now turned toward him as the number one suspect in the murders of both Guan and Susie Lan. The only problem was that Michael had fled the country 3 days ago. You're listening to Heinous, an Asian true crime podcast, brought to you by MediaCorp and produced by 1UP Media. This episode may contain sensitive details and graphic imagery. Listener discretion is advised. On January 8th, 2002, the names Michael McCrea and Audrey Ong were added to the police's wanted list under suspicion regarding the deaths of Khoo Nai Guan and Susie Lan, a case that was classified as murder. Michael was the main suspect in the deaths of Guan and Lan, and Audrey Ong was Michael's girlfriend at the time, thus indicating a strong likelihood of her involvement as an accomplice in the crime. Recognizing the gravity of the situation, the Singapore Police Force took decisive action. They swiftly reached out to Interpol, urging them to list Michael and Audrey as wanted international fugitives. Interpol swiftly heeded Singapore's request, and for a period of time, the pair were catapulted to the top of the list for Singapore's most wanted criminals. According to Singapore's Immigration and Checkpoints Authority, investigations into Michael and Audrey's travel history revealed their departure from Singapore to London on January 5th, a mere 3 days prior to the grim discovery of the bodies. With this new information in hand, the focus of the police shifted across the seas to the UK. Collaboration between Singaporean and UK authorities intensified, with the UK police pledging to maintain vigilant surveillance for Michael and Audrey within their jurisdiction. However, The expansive territory of Britain, with its population approaching 60 million people, posed a significant obstacle in the pursuit of the elusive pair. The details into how the police managed to nab the pair are sparse. It is believed that following their departure from Singapore, Michael and Audrey resided in London for a period of time before embarking on a flight to Australia. It is speculated that this particular flight may have aroused suspicion among authorities, potentially leading to a breakthrough in the investigation. 5 months elapsed from the grim discovery of the bodies before Australian law enforcement finally apprehended Michael McCrea and Audrey Ong. The pair were arrested in Melbourne, where they were discovered hiding within the residence of Michael's estranged pregnant wife. Following the arrest of Audrey Ong and Michael McCrea in Australia, local authorities promptly notified their Singaporean counterparts. In response, the Singaporean authorities swiftly issued extradition orders for both individuals. These orders mandated their return to Singapore to face trial for their alleged crimes, marking a pivotal step in the pursuit of justice for Khun Ai Guan and Suzy Lan. Audrey Ong was the first to face extradition proceedings and was repatriated to Singapore on November 10, 2002. She pleaded guilty to 2 counts of tampering with evidence related to a serious offence. Subsequently, on February 8, 2003, she received a 12-year prison sentence. Being a Singaporean citizen, the extradition process for Audrey was relatively straightforward and uncomplicated. However, the situation differed significantly for Michael McCrea. Despite being arrested alongside Audrey, and despite Singapore's issuance of an extradition order, Michael's extradition did not proceed. Instead, he remained confined within a high-security Australian prison. Australia hesitated to comply with Singapore's extradition request due to the potential severity of punishment awaiting Michael in Singapore. Aware that capital offences in Singapore could lead to the death penalty, Australia, having abolished capital punishment in its entirety in 1985, found itself in a legal quandary. This made Michael's extradition a complex and sensitive matter, as it was against Australian law to extradite individuals to jurisdictions where they may face execution. In response to the complex extradition dilemma, the Singaporean government opted for a strategic approach. They entered into negotiations with the Australian government, offering assurances regarding Michael's fate should he face conviction for murder. The crux of the negotiation centered on Singapore's promise that Michael would not face the death penalty, even in the event of a guilty verdict. This assurance, although seemingly unprecedented, was grounded in Singapore's legal system. Legal experts asserted that even in the event of a death sentence, Michael would retain the right to appeal to higher courts for sentence reduction. Furthermore, should these appeals fail, Michael would still have the opportunity to petition the President of Singapore for clemency, which may result in the commutation of his death sentence to life imprisonment. This multifaceted assurance provided a viable pathway for Michael to avoid the death penalty, assuaging concerns raised by Australian authorities. Ultimately, it was this concession that paved the way for Australia's approval of Michael's extradition on November 16, 2002. You might believe that this marks the conclusion of the saga, with Michael heading back to Singapore to confront justice. But it's far from over. Michael immediately began a sequence of legal maneuvers to contest the extradition order, leading to a protracted legal battle that spanned more than 3 years. It wasn't until his fourth and final appeal that a definitive decision was reached, with the High Court of Australia rejecting his plea after the initial 3 appeals proved unsuccessful. Following the rejection, Michael was placed under stringent security measures, including being restrained in a straitjacket for a 2-week period to prevent self-harm. Eventually, on September 27, 2005, Michael was successfully extradited back to Singapore. The moment he arrived, he was charged with 2 counts of murder in the subordinate courts of Singapore. 9 months after he was extradited, on June 25, 2006, 48-year-old Michael Macrea was brought to trial in the High Court for the killing of Khoo Nai Guan and Lan Yaming. According to the court records, Michael Macrea admitted to the killings of both Khoo Nai Guan and Suzy Lan. The prosecution's investigations unfolded the sequence of events as follows. Khoo Nai Guan actually met his demise on the morning of January 2, 2002, during a heated altercation between him and Michael. According to Michael himself, he threw a New Year's Eve party on the 1st of January 2002 at his home in Balmoral Park. As the night wore on and the guests started to leave, Guan and Suzy began tidying up the apartment while Michael and Audrey enjoyed a drink together. Guan later joined Michael but seemed to be in an unusual state of mind. When Michael asked about Guan's mood, he confessed to having consumed drugs. As they were about to retire for the night, Guan abruptly stood and directed a derogatory remark towards Audrey in Mandarin. Audrey promptly informed Michael, who was not present in the living room at the time, and Michael intervened by confronting Guan, pushing him against the wall, and demanding him to go to bed. However, Guan, in his intoxicated state, disregarded the advice and got violent. In a burst of rage, Guan threw a chair at Michael, instigating a physical confrontation. During this, Guan struck Michael with a vase and wielded the broken pieces as weapons. Despite Michael's pleas for Guan to drop the vase, Guan threatened him with death and made multiple attempts to stab him. Fearing for his safety, Michael instinctively defended himself, unleashing a barrage of punches to Guan's face and even resorting to strangulation. Following the altercation, Michael and Audrey found Guan barely breathing. Despite Michael's attempts to revive him, Guan could not be resuscitated. Michael and Audrey then swiftly intercepted Suzy as she tried to exit the apartment. They guided her to Guan's bedroom, inquiring about any hidden drugs and where Guan had hid the money he received for his bonus. Michael insisted on her cooperation, even revealing Guan's body, which both Michael and Audrey had already placed in a wicker basket by then. For the next 2 days, Michael desperately attempted to conceal Guan's death by collecting his belongings for disposal. Additionally, he enlisted the help of two individuals, Gemma Ramsbottom, a former secretary of Michael, and a man named Augustine Chio. According to the records, Michael reached out to Gemma while Audrey got in touch with Augustine. She informed Augustine that Michael had a fight with someone and requested his help to dissolve a dead rat. During this period, Suzy Lan remained locked within Guan's bedroom and was provided with basic sustenance like water, chocolate, and cranberry juice. She was constantly pressured into revealing the whereabouts of Guan's hidden cash, particularly the $20,000 bonus given to him by Michael a month prior. With each passing day, Suzy's condition deteriorated, and on the evening of January 3, 2002, Gemma entered Michael's flat in Balmoral Park. Shortly afterward, the group moved Suzy to the living room, where Michael proceeded to wrap plastic bags around her neck, fully aware that this action could result in her death. That night, Michael, Audrey, Gemma, and Augustine were occupied with erasing traces of the crime in the apartment. They meticulously cleaned the flat, disposing all of Guan's belongings to erase any evidence of his presence. The wicker basket, which contained Guan's body, was then placed into the rear seat of the Daewoo Chairman motor car. Additional items, including clothing and dumbbells, were added to the basket to increase its weight, potentially for disposal at sea. Suzy's body was later placed in the car's trunk, along with bags containing her personal items. Michael then sprayed air fresheners in the vehicle to mask the odor of decomposition. Subsequently, Michael drove the car around Singapore with Gemma in the front seat and Audrey in the rear. They scouted various locations before they decided to leave the car in the car park of the Orchard Towers complex. In his plea for leniency, Michael McCrea expressed deep remorse for his actions, attributing his psychological torment to his conscience. He emphasized the long-standing brotherly bond he shared with Guan since their meeting in 1998. Michael recounted his genuine concern for Guan's well-being, evident even on the night of the altercation when he urged Guan to go to bed due to his drug intake. His lawyer also emphasized the lack of intent to cause harm and highlighted Michael's efforts to revive Guan upon realizing that he was unconscious. In response, the prosecution emphasized the aggravating aspects of the case. They highlighted Michael's disproportionate response to Guan's provocation, resulting in a severe assault leading to injury and death. Additionally, they underscored Susie's unfortunate involvement, highlighting that she was merely at the wrong place at the wrong time. Just because she was a witness to Guan's death, Michael had no choice but to silence her. The prosecution contended that rather than admitting to his crimes and alerting the authorities, Michael prioritized concealing his actions and recovering the bonus he had given to Guan before his demise, ultimately fleeing the country to evade accountability. The court was now urged to impose a severe penalty for Michael McCrea. On June 29, 2006, the High Court Judge Chu Han-tik sentenced Michael McCrea to 24 years imprisonment, 10 years for each charge of culpable homicide, and 4 years for tampering with evidence. Should he demonstrate good conduct during his incarceration, he would become eligible for a 1/3 reduction in his 24-year sentence. This means that he could potentially be released on June 29, 2022, having served a minimum of 16 years in prison. Heinous, an Asian true crime podcast, is brought to you by MediaCorp and 1UP Media. This episode was produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, narrated by Jason, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media. Special thanks to executive producer Danny Cordy from MediaCorp. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one.